In today's parashat, there's a verse, as it turns out, Sam stopped reading Exodus 14 on the verse before. I thought that was kind of orchestrated. This famous verse in the Torah portion, Vayishalach, the Almighty speaks to Moses and says, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, Matitzach Elai, Daber el Bnei Israel, Vayisau. Maybe it doesn't sound because it's not our language, so let's put it in our language. This is translated. Then Adonai said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Well, in English, you can say, well, he's getting on to Moses. But it turns out there is no y'all in regular English. You applies for the plural. But in Hebrew, there is a one that is singular and one that is plural. Okay? Eli, see that Eli up there? It applies to plural. So he's not talking to Moses. He's talking to the children of Israel, which includes Moses. So if he were from the south, we could put in there, why are y'all crying to me? And then tell Bnei Israel to go forward. Exodus 14:15. Go forward. Vayisau means go forward. Okay, actually, this word go forward, which is translated in every single verse, except maybe one of all the English Bibles. Okay. Vayisau actually means, it's a conversive vowel construction. And it means continue moving. Now, same detail for you that they were in a cove, right? At a nice cove. There's only, we can't go left. We can't go back. We can't go to the right. We're going to all jump into the sea. Right? He's prophesying, actually, because the water hasn't moved yet. Because then in the next, which you did read, it says, Moses, stretch out your symbol of authority. Stretch out the one that turned into a snake. Stretch out the one you had to pick up. Stretch out the one you will carry. You carry until the day you die with you. Aaron had one, and it was planted, and it budded. Remember? Staff. Stretch out your staff. Okay? But before then, the instruction to the children of Israel is keep going. Okay? But it's translated, go forward. If we were doing modern Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, the word to go forward is kadima. And you've heard that word here before. Kadima. Okay? We're familiar with that word. Okay? It's a modern Hebrew word for going forward specifically. Go forward. It's used in dance when it says go to the center of the circle. Because you're dancing. Kadima means go to the center of the circle. Because that's where you're facing. Go forward. How about that? So, kadima. The title of today's message is, therefore, tell the children of Israel to vayisau. But I changed it. Took the liberty to change it. Tell the children of Israel to kadima. Oh, wow. The reason I changed that is because we have also been given similar instructions in recent times. In the my 2022 MJAASCR Southeast Regional Message, that conference theme was Kadima. Okay? I entitled my message, Kadima into the Times of Restitution. So I preached that there, and I preached that here in 1922. But in October of 2020, my message to you was entitled, Kol Simcha, Kadima. So I found it really interesting that the children of Israel were told Kadima, okay, by Yisau Kadima, and we have been being told Kadima. Don't stay there. In October 31, when I preached Kadima, I was preaching from Parashat Lech Lecha, which is get yourself out, get yourself going, okay? Kadima, get yourself going forward. Abraham, and we have also been told that. In our reading this week, there's so many great things to talk about. We need like weeks to talk about all of them. So neither Sam nor I endeavored to do them all, but I picked out some for you. Maybe some of the same ones he did, and maybe some ones that he didn't. There's a number of events that help establish national differences. What does that mean? He's creating a people that is going to be different than the people that have been there before. Okay? They're going to be different. They're going to have a different God. They're going to have a different Torah, a different set of instructions, which is what Torah means. Okay? And they're going to have one and one only deity. That's also really important. Okay. When they departed Egypt, the crossing of the sea with the associated destruction of the Egyptian chasers, the next thing he does is provides what Sam said. They needed some food. And he provided, we call it manna. But it's in Hebrew, manhu. Okay? Which is, the man there is a M-N, which doesn't have a vowel. We know that man means from, okay? But when it's used with other words, the missing, there's no vowel, right? It can be said min. Min is from. Literally, in the Hebrew language, in the modern Hebrew language, min means from. Okay? And man who, which means from him. Okay? So manna is English or transliterated or whatever, but the real meaning is it is from him. An acknowledgement that this nourishment came from him. They were also given the celebration of Shabbat. Sam didn't touch on that. Thank God. Well, you're touching all of them. Then they were given water from the rock in the wilderness at Horeb. And also Israel battled the Amalekites. How many gallons of water do you need to provide for 600,000 plus others? 600,000 men. That doesn't count the women and the children and the cattle. It doesn't count the Gentiles that were attached to them. Their wives and their children and their cattle. So someone actually made an estimate. It would be 100, okay, cars that are tanker cars in a railroad per day. That's not small. Okay, 100-car train is with 100 one of those tanker ones full of water. That's what it would take. So he didn't just give them sips. He gave them water. He gave them enough water to do everything that needed to be done. Bathe, do all those other things that are personal, wash your face, give some to the dog and the cat and whatever else you have. The children of Israel definitely had sheep because they were sheep herders. Okay, so they took them with them. They didn't leave them in Egypt. The Egyptians didn't want them, by the way. They didn't want the sheep. And then they fight the Amalekites. And I've spoken about that. I spoke a message called Maftir to Maftir on this parashat. The Maftir of this parashat is that I will fight Amalek. He's my eternal enemy. And you will overcome Amalek. Amalek is a typology of Satan. Okay? What's interesting is Amalek came. And what is not clear to you unless you very carefully read the Hebrew. The children of Israel, wherever they were, Amalek came at the women and the children first. Amalek didn't come and say, okay, Joe, I'm going to get you. He went and got your dog. He went and got your children or your grandchildren. You understand that? This was like really not fair. Coward! Come face me, you know. But the children of Israel fought Amalek. It was an all-day battle. And as long as Moses' hands were up, children of Israel prevailed. In the congregation. As long as our hands are up, we prevail. So suppose that $100 bills are coming from heaven. They're coming. How long will you keep your hands up? Oh, let me be more generous than that. Silver, which is growing in value continually. A raining silver. Ah, yeah. How long will you keep them up? We don't practice that much here. The Pentecostal churches, they really practice that. So they have strong muscles to keep the hands up. Have you thought about it? Oh, no, that's Moses. So Aaron and Hur, okay. Oh, Joshua is the son of? It's a family affair. In the scriptures, family affair all the time. This is one of the things I didn't read when I was in the Christian church. I didn't read those sidelines or those contexts or any of those things. Like, Hur, who is that? Joshua's dad. If we read this parashat, it has a bunch of valuable history. But besides that, what's transpiring there becomes the basis for identity. Sam didn't use that word. I'm using that word. It becomes a basis for identity because the things that he's identified with is the things that they're going to identify with. And they're going to be able to remember and actually be speaking about, did you see that water coming out of the rock? Did you see that he hit it? Did you see that he put that tree in the bitter waters and they became sweet? And we'd be able to say, you can point to specifics. Okay? Let me tell you, there are parallels between the story of the Egyptian scrutiny of the Israelites at the bank of the Red Sea and our current situation, because I believe that we're also at the precipice, at a change in time. There's a current situation in America and the world, and we're at the brink of that situation. We all fall under difficult scrutiny right now. We're being scrutinized continually. We have staunchly believed that prior to the beginning of difficult times, which is sometimes called the tribulation, okay, we have believed that that's okay. But there's a whole segment of the believing community that are saying, and I've been taught, when those hard times come, you will not be here. And you ask, well, who gets left? And the answer is, the Jews get left. Do you think that's a little anti-Semitic? Just a little. If we look at the Exodus model, we look at what happened in the Exodus, okay? Did the angels come riding in chariots of fire, and come riding in and park and let everybody jump into a chariot? I didn't want to use, you know, so let's use some, like a station, like a wagon, like the Old West wagon. Jump in the wagon and get over there. Is that what happened? No. The scripture says that which has been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. That's Ecclesiastes 3, 14 and 15, or 15 and 16. Did the Almighty protect his people? We saw that. Sam made that point. He showed strong arm, which we quote that scripture in the Seder. And they were delivered through this impending tribulation. The tribulation continued, okay? But they were delivered from it. This example shows that we can trust the Almighty, which is, trust is another word for faith. Sam used the word, we're learning faith, he said, trust. And we don't need to be afraid or have an escapist mindset. And many people that claim the Messiah have that. We're not going to cower, okay? We're not going to cower, and instead, we're going to do what he said. What did he say? Okay, he actually said, Vayisau Kadima, which actually means go forward. And he will be glorified like he was glorified at the time of the Egyptians. Many who claim Messiah are not thinking that way. Here's what the scripture says. When thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So there is a rhyme and reason for what's coming up. And Sam said it last week. I want to say it this week. The whole plagues and what have you was a show of who's in charge. And we're doing it again. If you see what the Lord has taken Jonathan Cahn and the books that he's been writing of late are all about the contest of worlds, the contest of thrones, right? Because there's a game like that. Worlds and thrones and what have you. The whole Avatar and all that kind of stuff, right? That is going to play out again. And let me also say, where the children of Israel, okay, taken to heaven while all this was going on. They were in Egypt. Now, they didn't experience all of the plagues. Because the Lord wanted to show that I'm going to make a difference between my people and all. But the first three, I think, everybody suffered. I mean, his own people went through plague one. His own people went through plague two. His own people went through plague three. But then he made a distinction. He made a choice. He separated his people because he's separate. That's what kadosh means. They're holy, separate. When it was all over, Moses and Miriam sang and danced. Moses sang, Miriam danced. How old was Moses? 80. And how old? A little, actually 81 at this point. And how old is Miriam? Well, she's the oldest. And there's three kids. So if you give about a year and a half to 2 years per kid, between kids, then she's anywhere from 4 to 6 years older than him. So if he's 80 or 81, she's 86 or 87. And this is what they said. We heard it in here. Let's sing and dance to the Almighty, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider, that means their enemies, have been thrown into the sea. At the end of chapter 15, we have the incident in the bitter waters of Marah. Marah is a root word where you get the word Miriam. Miriam. Okay? So Miriam is a name that refers to an actual, there's an actual root that it's bitter. So you don't eat it. But you don't throw it away either. Because after it becomes hard and you break it, it oozes with some of the greatest perfume in the world. And that was used for the anointing oil in the temple. So, Miriams can be tried. I have a Miriam in my house. Marilyn is Miriam. Okay? They can be tried, but they are beautiful and sweet when the Lord breaks them for him. They ooze some of the most wonderful perfume in the world. In the waters of Marah, he said, if you diligently listen to the voice of Adonai, your God. This is, I'm quoting now what Sam and TJ read to you. And do what is right in his eyes. Pay attention to his misvote and keep all his decrees. I will put none of those diseases on which I have put on the Egyptians. For Ani Adonai Eloh Rofecha. I am the God that healeth you. So who said that? There's bugs going around. There's stuff going around. City's getting really sick. You know how to pray? Here it is. Yehovah, Yehovah, through Yeshua, your Messiah, you sent him to heal me. You said you would put none of those diseases on me. So, if this disease came from you, I'll take it. But if it didn't come from you, it's not mine. It's been brought in by an agent, whether it flies or whatever. And I rebuke it in the name of Yeshua, and I send it away. Do you understand that whatever comes against you that is not of God, he didn't send it. And he said he wouldn't put it on us. And when he says on the Egyptians, he said on the judging of those 10 gods, which Sam has been explicating to us. When the people were hungry and complained to Adonai in Exodus 16, he gave them bread from heaven, they said. But they didn't know what to call it. French bread, brioche, you know. So they call it literally manhu, from him. Bread is necessary for life. Okay? In fact, bread is called the staff of life. It's an interesting staff. Staff is your authority. Okay? The staff of life. And bread is to be eaten daily. But not bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Jehovah, right? Yeshua said. Near today, the end of today's reading, I'm moving along. I may actually finish when I want to. At the end of today's reading, the people had great thirst. And Moses was instructed to strike the rock, not speak to it, not go rub it, not anoint it. Okay? So the Lord said, strike, strike. And if he says, speak, speak. And if he says, sit down and sing to it, then sit down and sing to it. Out of you will come water. And if you have the word, you have the faith that Sam's talking about that we are to be getting, we can do what, how many things? Okay. Again, you can go ahead and just let me be the one that gets all of it. You can say all, so that your body and your mind and everything hears it, that all things, you can do all things through Messiah Yeshua. But isn't Yeshua the rock? Ah, so they were commanded to strike the rock. Don't you find that the Torah picture of Isaiah 53? Because Yeshua is the rock. And they struck him down. In fact, he uses that terminology in Isaiah. They struck him down. And the idea there is to strike the rock for water. We strike Yeshua. We struck him. We consider him a nothing. And he spilled water and blood. And by that we are healed. By that we are saved. By that, the correct word, we are redeemed, which is the word that was used in Exodus 15. Let me say again, Yeshua is the rock at Horeb. Okay? The children of Israel were aware that something or someone accompanied them in their wilderness, but they couldn't put their hands on it. But who was it? It was the rock. It was the angel. It was the messenger of Adonai. Yeshua accompanied them in the desert. I didn't have time to go find you that in the New Testament, which I'm not the one who made this. Paul did. The representation of Adonai as a solid rock that Jehovah, Adonai, and Yeshua, his son, are solid rock. In Christ, the solid rock outstand, or everything else is. Ah. Did you know that in the Jewish community they sing that, something like that? It's called Sur Mishelo. Means rock of ages. Okay? So the Jewish people on Shabbat sing rock of ages. When they're singing about rock of ages, they're singing about Yeshua. Aren't they? So I want to leave you with a thought. We are at the precipice. We are getting ready to go into a new season, into everything is new. What should we do? Yes? What should we do? Kadima, God forward. Okay, so we're ready to Kadima, but we could go Kadima with it. Or we can go forward, but this earth, you know, all that thing. That's not what I'm saying. I think we could be like Moses and Miriam and Kadima with a song and dance, because that's who we are. The sound of joy and the voice of gladness. You see, we should, because the Almighty is worthy and highly exalted. Here's what it said in the beginning of Exodus 15. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. Let me read that to you from Exodus 15, 1 through 3. One more time. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Adonai. I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he threw into the sea. Yah Adonai is my strength and my song. And he has become my Yeshua, my salvation. He has become my Yeshua, okay? This is my God, my Elohim. I will glorify him. My father's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers. And I will exalt him. Adonai is a warrior. Jehovah is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. His elite commanders were drowned in the sea of reeds. As you look around and I say, okay, let's sing and rejoice because we're getting ready to go to battle. Let's sing and dance. And some of you are looking at me like, I'm too old. I'm too tired. I want to close with this beautiful image. Somebody dancing Sur Michelot, Rock of Ages. Go ahead. One, two, three. One, two, and five. One, two, can you do that one? Isn't that sweet? How old do you think she is? By Jan Kelly Levy. Who's here when they were with me? Jan Kelly, the tall one. Look at it. Short dude. It's from 1972. It's considered one of the classic dances of Israel. And it's to a Shabbat song that people sing in their homes. If you find the video on YouTube, now she teaches it to you. Let's stand. You dismissed.